joining us for his weekly chat. It's Mr. Ken Bates. Hello, KB.
Good afternoon, Darren. How are you?
Very good. Yourself?
Man, I'm quite pleased, actually. You lot must be proud of yourselves. Tell us about the awards, the IRN awards last week.
Well, we were nominated for Sports Coverage of the Year for our Tour de Yorkshire coverage. And, well, we didn't take out the top prize, but we did get a runner-up prize. But it's very nice to be nominated. Very nice to get runner-up.
The winners, as we know, was in fact the Welsh radio station that did The Rise of the Dragon, which was all about the way the Welsh national rugby team had come on. So I suppose it was inevitable they would get that. But, no, you are... We did okay, and congratulations to you and all the guys involved. Runners up in the best sports coverage of the year. Well done.
Well, thank you very much.
But the important thing is, I don't know how much time everybody had time to read the budget yet, but in the budget, George Osborne has allocated £500,000 to promote internationally the next Tour de Yorkshire.
Well, that is great news.
That is great news. And welcome to Yorkshire. Given that money, not to spread it around, but to specifically promote that particular tournament, which demonstrates how successful it was. So perhaps we should be looking to Mr. Verity, take advantage of our worldwide coverage on the internet, to help promote the tour for overseas visitors next year.
That's a very, very good idea, KB.
Thank you, Mr. Verity. We'll be happy to work with you to promote the Tour de Yorkshire and, of course, to promote Radio Yorkshire and TV Yorkshire. Now, that's the point this year. This time, we'll be able to cover it with cameras as well as just microphones.
Well, that's very true.
Are you listening, head of programming?
Yes, we certainly are. Don't worry. We'll touch on the budget in a short wee while, actually, KB. But let's start with Leeds United. And I suppose it's been a quiet time at Leeds United recently, apart from, I suppose, the big news, apart from a great three matches unbeaten and three wins on the trot, and hopefully a fourth this weekend, was that the fact that...
weren't two of them away.
Well, exactly, in Cardiff, the first time I think they've beaten Cardiff in Cardiff since 1984, so a fantastic result, really.
Yeah, well done that lot.
Yeah, but very much so. But I suppose off the pitch, it's just some interesting news about the new East Stand sponsor, which turned out to be Clipper Logistics and, of course, Steve Parkin.
Well, my nickname for Steve has sometimes been Nearly Parkin. Because his name's been mentioned so much in being involved in Leeds, he actually never got past over the finishing line. But this is great news. It's a substantial, hopefully substantial, promotion, and it will represent steady income coming into the club for a few years. And Clipper Logistics, which, to be fair to Parkin, is that his company, when he floated the stock exchange, I think the share doubled in the first year. So obviously he's got a good business running there. And the fact that that will be seen on East Stand, hopefully seen from the pitch and TV cameras, particularly with Leeds being chosen so many times, despite Massimo's upset about it, that will give Clipper good coverage internationally. He's going to do his business good, and his money can only do the club good. But I think it's a sideline which probably wasn't made much publicity about it, which his real comment is that the reason he hasn't got involved in Leeds United share-wise, etc., is the effect it could have on his children at school when Leeds don't have a good game. And it's something I've been trying to point out for 3 or 4 years now. And that is, they might think they're clever putting advertising screens up on the side of the ground or flying planes over the ground or doing mock burials and chanting and waving and protest marches. None of which makes any difference, quite frankly, other than it affects the image of the club they claim to love. And they can't love Leeds United if they do the things they do. So they're not improving it. They're discouraging or frightening off even would-be investors, would-be supporters, because they simply don't want them, simply because they don't want to be associated with it. So if you ask, okay, Massimo must go, all right, great, let him go. I had a meeting with him last Wednesday, and not yesterday, the week before. We're talking about, and I was sympathising with him, and I said to him, well, great, well, even if you wanted to sell Massimo, who's going to buy it off you? Who want to get involved in such a rabble? And by the way, it really makes me laugh. When I described people as morons 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, I was told it was terrible. Two university professors, one university librarian, one head teacher, you know, sort of criticised. So I rang them up and talked to them and said, well, what does it mean? I said, well, you know, it's not very nice, is it? I said, well, come on, what does it mean? None knew. Now, even the university librarian has probably got 5,000 books, but bother to look it up. Actually derives from a Greek word, which means stupid. But come on, you people who profess to love Leeds United, show it. You don't do it by demonstration. Just shows you up. It makes people look down on you. And the guy, as I reminded 2,900 miles away once, rich people, read Twitters as well, was actually pointing out rich people are the only ones who are going to invest in a club like Leeds United because the money's required are so enormous that they're not going to get involved with that kind of behaviour. So come on, 3 wins on a row, easy in a run. You want your manager to buy more players in the close season, and they should be planning for it now. So why don't we just trap up and cheer on the players and the team? Maybe even cheer on Massimo for the great job he's done in many ways, sorting out the mess that the Arabs created. I'm not wrong on that, by the way. David Hay, I think, is being tried this week or next week. This alleged slander on his Twitter account, except of course he doesn't run a Twitter account because he's behind bars in Dubai and they're not allowed access to computers and mobile phones, etc. But I do see that Salim Patel caused an awful lot of trouble at Allen Road, and his namesake, though not another Patel, are still directors of Leeds United. Now, are they fit and proper persons? Director of an English football club when they're running or heavily charged with running a clapped out so-called investment bank in Bahrain, and he's a Liverpool supporter. Food for thought.
Certainly is food for thought, KB.
The protesters might want to direct their start writing to the Football League and the FA, questioning their ability, their suitability to be directors of Leeds United. Because, I tell you the real reason they're on, while they're directors and they've got 20-odd% stake in the club, they can equity account the value of their shares, which will bolster their balance sheet. There they are. Come on, you more intelligent. Come on, Mr. Twaits, Leeds Fans United. Come on. You're an intelligent, clever, successful businessman. Get some fellow intellectuals around you. Start a campaign, get those two shifted off the board.
Moving on, KB, to more, some more football lines, and let's just have a look at what's been happening at FIFA recently, because yeah, it is exactly like that. They're suing some of their most senior former officials for damages this time. Tens of millions of dollars. This is all around Jack Warner, Jeffrey Webb and Chuck Blazer. They also reveal that FIFA believes South Africa paid a bribe of $10 million to win the right to host the 2010 World Cup. So just more and more seems to be coming out of the story.
Well, it is. Well, of course, what happened once you got rid of Blatter and his chief executive, who were keeping the lid on all the... And you know, once you open Pandora's box, out comes all the stories. Because now you're situation, well, it wasn't me, Gov. Look what these other terrible people did. Nothing I could do about it. I didn't even know about it. Well, maybe they didn't know about it. Though I says, well, they did. Because a place like FIFA is very small with big, heavy gossip columns going about. But now it's great, isn't it? It just confirms what I was saying 20-odd years ago. Pull out of FIFA and start again. And I don't need FIFA. All they do is run a World Cup once every 4 years. That's all. What else do they do? Nothing. The area association, like the Asian, South American, North American, Australasian, Pacific, Middle East, they can all run their own businesses very well. Wonder what Mr. Blatter feels like now, flying on a scheduled flight. Apparently, he hadn't flown by private jet the last 25 years. Bloody disgrace. When kids in Africa and South America, running around with no boots on, playing on dirt pitches. No, yeah, keep the story up. And the great thing about it is, don't kid yourself, the Americans are a vicious, vindictive race or country. Once they get their teeth into it, they're tenacious. In fact, this stuff is going via the FBI. They'll follow it to the end of the earth. And good luck to them. It's exposed a lot of them.
Also talking more lines on football, KB, and Arsene Wenger, of course, manager of Arsenal, has been there for quite a long time now. Arsenal out of the Champions League. They're out of the Champions League, of course, and not likely to win the Premier League this season. Once again, the question has come up about whether or not Arsene Wenger should still be the Arsenal manager. I was just wondering how you would have dealt with this Arsene Wenger situation if you were in the position of chairman of Arsenal. How would you have dealt with it?
I don't think there's been an Arsene Wenger situation. This is merely a media frenzy sparked by newspaper reporters, most of them probably never kicked a ball in their life, or ex-managers who've now become TV pundits. Now, I have to say, when Wenger first came on board, I know how he came on board. David Dean was driving in his car up to Villa Park, and he had the deputy chairman of Wembley Stadium in his car. For the life of me, I can't remember his name, he's escaped me. But, they're going to, and the guy said to Dean, well, think about Wenger, he's in Japan, man, coaching. And actually rang him on the car phone. Tell him, story short, he came to Arsenal. And first of all, I didn't take to him very much, because I once even dubbed him the first blind manager we had, because if there's a questionable thing about Arsenal, he never saw it. But of course, as you think about it later on, when you're at pitch side, at pitch level, you sometimes don't see things because, you know, there are bodies in front of whatever incident it was. But slowly but surely, I began to grow to respect him. Now I've admired him. Look at how disgraceful Mourinho has behaved while he was manager of Chelsea. He's always trying to bait Wenger, get him to a bit, well, forgive the pun, bait Wenger. Oh, that was unintentional. But Wenger never rose to the forgive me saying it again, Bait, B-A-I-T. He just kept his dignity and kept going. And the thing is, what he says is quite true. He did build Arsenal. There's no huge investment in Arsenal, there has been. Good youth policy, good buying, good strategy, support from the board. I knew Peter Hillwood for a long time. He's chairman, I think he's still chairman, even though they're now new owners. And the new owners have been clever, stayed in the background, and left the management team to get on with it. And I think he's done a marvellous job at Arsenal. They're paying down the debt on their stadium. Emirates have been greatly supportive. And I don't think there's anything to apologise for. As he said, he's got the enthusiasm. There's an old saying, you ain't broke, don't mend it. And OK, a few foreign owners have spent hundreds of million pounds and bought success. That's not really a great achievement. What's the greatest is when you win things, not buy them, you win things. That's what Arsenal have done. They've been in the top. So, as far as I'm concerned, just let it go. Because Wenger, happily married, company settled, the support, happily married to Arsenal, the support of the board, good team, good luck. It's over. We sound that about Evans in 20 years' time.
Moving on to outside of football, KB, and was the budget yesterday by the Chancellor, George Osborne. As ever, a bit of a mixed bag. Some headlines about education, with all schools becoming academies by 2022, and sugar tax, which made Jamie Oliver very, very happy indeed. What were your thoughts?
Well, I I'll give you the idea of a sugar tax, but I have thought they should put it on the sugar. So it's all about cakes that use sugar, desserts that have sugar, many other things that have sugar. Now, my wife just said wine. Wine doesn't have sugar. Wine has alcohol. And it's taxed to the limit already. And he's stuck the price. And he's stuck the duty up with... Well, the trouble is, when you have one of your audience sitting next to you, you do tend to get interruptions from time to time. Sit up and drink your wine. Sorry, just talking to the wife. The wife. I think that's a good idea. And I think like the way it's being devoted to specific things such as helping reduce obesity. But on the other hand, it starts at home, doesn't it? Obese kids. But it's an interesting budget. I must confess, it bears little relation to what I thought it might be, was going to be. I like the idea of helping small businesses, hitting big businesses, stopping all the tax fiddles. What I couldn't believe is that this thing whereby people in the BBC can form their own little companies, so the BBC then does a contract with a company that's avoiding tax. BBC does it. That's disgraceful enough when they're holier than thou. Then it turns out top civil servants are doing it. How the hell can a top civil service who are responsible for administering and collecting tax use tax dodges? I think Mr. Osborne speaks about, he's quoted somewhere in the paper today about our civil service being the most honourable and straightforward in the world. I think he's talking about the shortcomings of HMRC. Well, I beg to differ. 45 years ago, they screwed me out of $100 million, American dollars, in a former then colonial territory. The tax situation, that's what I'm really disappointed about in this budget. He'd done nothing to simplify the tax laws in this country. because I don't think anybody knows, even experts, don't know fully the ramifications. Apparently, I think somebody has recently, Britain's tax, the Bible, tells a way of life and a whole story and instruction how to live life. The tax rules have 10 times the number of words that the Bible has. I mean, kiss, keep it simple, stupid. That should be the rules and regulations of all taxation. And it's not, it's terrible, it's awful. It's totally unfair and treats some people so well and some people so badly. And it's all because it's so complicated. Make it simple. And that means then that the civil servants working for the Inland Revenue have more time to administer, because apparently they're very incompetent and not doing the job very well. They don't have too many silly things to supervise. They'll be able to do it better. Or maybe even cut down the number of civil servants. And let them, we've always told you, if you don't pay civil servants proper money, they could get better jobs in the private practice. Good. Let them do it. Let them find out what it's like in the real world. That's the BBC's argument, of course, as well. If they don't work, we don't pay the salaries, they get jobs outside. Well, they cut 4 layers of BBC management and help them halve the licence fee. Sorry, I'm rambling a bit. I'm doing a bait rant. Get carried away. But basically, things should be much simpler. And if I forgive the pun, it's as simple as that. He's failed on that. But his real problem there, I suspect, he's having a running battle with his own civil servants, who is in their best interest to keep things complicated, keep them in jobs. Leading the leaders on to Brexit. The referendum. Oh, I cannot believe, A, the government are trying to use the civil service, which is supposed to be honest and impartial, to promote the Remain in Europe campaign. And I cannot believe the so-called impartial and honest civil servant, right, put the emphasis on the word servant, are apparently deliberately obstructing those that wish to support Brexit Leave campaign, not giving the information that they're entitled to, and misusing and not honouring the Freedom of Information Act. But the other thing, by the way, I often wonder who's running the government anyway, because whenever I look on TV these days, I see Cameron Osborne, separate events, always in high-vis jackets and hard hats, talking at some company or the other. I think yesterday, I think Mr. Osborne was fixing scaffolding. You know, what the hell has that got to do with the Chancellor of Exchequer? I don't know. You'd be better off simplifying tax affairs back in the office. But they haven't put forward a cogent argument why we should stay in the EU. And I'm very interested in it. I must say, as a non-resident, I don't intend to vote, because I don't think it's fair that I should help to decide on a country, which is, I've got a right to. I don't live there. I have no intention of returning. Therefore, it's not right that I vote. But I still want to know the arguments and understand them. And they don't put up any specific arguments at all. I think one of the things that Cameron said, that socks will be more expensive if we left the EU. As far as I know, we get most of our socks from China. I don't quite know how they will go up. But that's a perfect example of the stupid remarks being made. And there should be a serious debate and discussion. In fact, the level of debate about the EU is descending to that of the American presidential election. And on that, by the way, I can't believe it, the so-called President Obama had the temerity to express his opinion on what Britain should, the United Kingdom should do. He's probably gotten the turn, probably gotten it 250 years ago. The Americans had a revolution and got independence because they objected to a foreign country telling them what to do. And we've got Mr. Obama trying to tell Britain what to do. He's got enough problems of his own. He's the worst president in history during my lifetime. He's lecturing us what to do in the Middle East, which is a problem which he started, or his country started, with Iraq and then Afghanistan and Libya. And Putin's running all rings around him. So he should concentrate on doing his own job properly instead of telling other people what to do with theirs. Anyway, Osborne said, it's a great country, getting better, you're quite right. And get rid of the bloody European red tape and we'll be even greater. We wouldn't be losing our dairy farmers. We're producing, we would produce our own, or we can produce our food. We claim back our fishing industry. And when they say our industry will be safer in the EU, oh yes, Mr. Cameron, what about the steelworks industry? What about the coal mining industry? You have done bugger all to help us on those, have they? I think we'd be better off out of the EU, making our own rules and regulations, not being subject to a bunch of unelected, super hypocritical, self-using, tax-free parasites that live between Brussels and Luxembourg. Well,
that's not bad at all, KB. I think we've covered just about everything there, really, apart from, finally, the chance to win a place in the Radio Yorkshire box.
The most important and interesting part of the interview, I have to admit. Complimentary, be a complimentary guest of Radio Yorkshire for the Queen's Park Rangers home game. Go on, off you go. Tell us the details.
Yes, if you want to be one of our VIPs at our Radio Yorkshire box at Elland Road on Tuesday the 5th of April, it's a 7:45 kick-off, you need to answer this question. Who did Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank join when he was sold from Leeds United in 1999? Was it Atletico Madrid, Chelsea or Middlesbrough? So it's either A, Atletico Madrid, B, Chelsea or C, Middlesbrough. Text YORKS, that's Y-O-R-K-S, and your answer A, B or C to 84383. Text only the words YORKS A or YORKS B or YORKS C or your entry may be invalid. Text costs £1 plus your standard message rate. And the entry to this competition closes on the 27th of March 2016. Winners will be chosen shortly after that. All the T's and C's can be found on radioyorkshire.co.uk. Just click on the win tab. All the T's and C's are there. I think that's just about it for us this week, KB.
Darren, I know the answer, but I'm not going to enter because I can't get over for the game.
I'm glad you know the answer.
Keep going, everybody. Have a go. Good luck.